This podcast contains graphic descriptions of violent crimes, including murder, assault, and details of human suffering that may be disturbing to some listeners. If you or someone you know is struggling with these issues, please reach out to a trusted professional or crisis hotline for support. The following story is true. Please proceed with caution. Hello, this is Mark, and you are listening to The Husband Did It, but not this husband. I am on with my co-host, Lindsay. How are you doing, Lindsay?
I am doing well, thank you, Mark.
This is exciting. We are rebooting the band. The band is back.
Yep.
And we're giving it another try. This time we're focusing on cases that end with the husband, boyfriend, fiancé, a male friend. I don't know. It's not a guy-hating podcast, but it's really just a common occurrence that those people in that role tend to commit a lot of violent crimes.
Yeah, murder people.
Yeah, kind of nutty. What case are we talking about today?
Today we are talking about Jennifer Dulos of New Canaan, Connecticut.
Pretty nice area.
Very nice area.
Connecticut. A lot of people up in New Canaan like do commute into Manhattan. So part of, I think a lot of people are like, well, what do you mean she drove to New York City, you know, for a dentist appointment? I don't think it's terribly uncommon.
There's also a train. It's an easy train ride away.
Yeah, I had one of my bosses lived in, I want to say it was New Haven. It was a good area. Not to put down Connecticut, but there are a couple areas that are a little sketchy. Just like Long Island.
Yeah.
But yeah, the commute it's pretty common. You know, it's actually a very picturesque commute. Have you ever taken the Hudson line?
I have not.
It's very nice, but you know, I guess if you're commuting, it's like working on the 80th floor of a building. It's kind of like it loses its luster pretty quickly.
I'm sure.
But yeah, Jennifer Dulos, we go back to, 2019. It's May. Spring of 2019, Jennifer Dulos dropped off her five children at school. Five children. She's 50. So I think that the numbers kind of equate a little bit, but she had a lot of kids at one time. Like it's
Wait, was she 50 when she died? Wow.
Yeah, she was 50. She didn't look it.
No.
Nobody looks their age. One person looks their age. We'll get to her a little bit later. And she certainly looks her age now. I'm not, you know, attacking people for the way they look.
No, it's fine. But Botox is real. It exists.
I'm commenting. That's all. you know, and one backstory of, you know, the Jennifer Dulos and her husband, Fotis. What a cool name. Fotis Dulos. As soon as I heard that, I'm like, that's got to be short for something. Fotis is probably a really long Greek name. What do you think?
I think so, too. And it's probably like his father's name or his grandfather's name shortened. So that's what I would say.
I mean, it's a cool name. I mean, and but they have a bit of wealth. You know, like they're doing well financially, at least on from the viewpoint of everyone else, right?
Well, they're doing so well financially, and her aunt by marriage was the woman who started Liz Claiborne.
Oh, I didn't know that. That's interesting.
Right?
My mom would be going nuts right now if she heard that.
Yeah, but she started. It was her aunt and her uncle started Liz Claiborne, and then her mom and dad, one of them was a like their titles were listed as philanthropist and something else. So her family had a lot of money too, it sounds like.
Yeah. And she, I mean, she's also an educated person. You know, she went to Brown.
She went to Brown and then got a master's from Columbia, I believe.
Do you know what her master's was in?
I think it was in writing.
That's right. She did some interesting writing. I would say that she wanted really badly to become a writer. And maybe, is it mean to say like she doesn't have the chops, really? I don't know.
We did read her blog. She had a lifestyle blog. I mean, listen, she was a stay-at-home mom, a writer for Patch.com. Do you remember Patch?
Yeah, I have my issues with Patch. You know, okay. I think it's user-submitted news. Is that right?
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Like, I think I'm kind of sure. I should fact check this. Like, I'm typing into our document. I want to know where Patch gets its information. I'm pretty sure anybody can write for Patch.
Okay. Note to self, write for Patch.
Who can submit to patch.com? All right, I'm going to look this up.
Okay, I'll be curious. Sorry. And then she also had her lifestyle blog called Five Make Seven because they had five kids and two sets of twins.
Yeah, I don't know. It's a cute name, I guess. You know, this also happened in 2019. So this is like right before like the big explosion of the pandemic.
Yep.
You know, people like kind of look back and they're like, well, you know, it's a kind of a chaotic world. If we just ignore the rest of, you know, like the shutdowns and everything like that, things were a little bit chaotic and everyone was trying to be like an influencer. And I guess she was trying to dip her toe in that.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like to me as well.
I read a couple things here and there. It seemed like she was writing for herself more than anything.
Okay. Oh, definitely the blog seemed to be more of a diary than anything else.
No, I think I'm wrong. I think there is Patch staff.
Okay.
But I don't know. I think it's like a hyper-local reader-submitted news. But I'm not 100% sure about that. I know that I find that there's a lot of things on Patch that is not exactly credible. In my experience.
Okay.
So whatever, you know. So, but anyway, she was messing with Patch.
She was also taking care of five kids. So
she did have a live-in nanny, right?
Yeah.
Who's super committed, right? Like this woman, she became, after like the terrible thing that we're about to talk about, she really stepped up and she, as far as I know, is still in the role of taking care of them.
I believe she is. I believe she's working for, because the kids are now with Jennifer's mother, Gloria Farber, and I believe that the nanny is still with them.
Now, you have to wonder, like, you know, from what I understand, that girl put her whole life on hold because of everything that went down.
Yeah.
And you have to wonder, are they just going to have a conversation with her one day, and it's like, all right, well, all right, you got to move on. And it's like...
Well, the kids are now between 15 and 19.
Yeah. So, I mean... That's a tough conversation to have, but at the same time, maybe there's enough wealth that they're just like, look, you're just going to be a part of the family now.
Forever.
Forever. We'll put you through college again or whatever. So let's see. Jennifer had a dental appointment and she was going to go into Manhattan. I think she was supposed to meet up with her mother as well.
Okay.
I think I read that somewhere. And she was either going, like you said, it could have been a train. People mentioned that she could have taken the train, but like, was that one of the theories that came out? Like maybe she didn't drive in, maybe she took
the train. No. So she had I know that she had two cars at her home.
Yeah.
And so she was going to take one, but I thought it was to the train station.
I was under the impression that she was going to drive in, but that could be totally wrong.
Okay.
Nevertheless, she, as far as we know, she never got out of Connecticut anyway.
Never got out of Connecticut. Nope. She missed her first appointment, which was a dentist appointment. And
that's the thing. She missed the dentist appointment. So, which is weird because like, if I miss my dentist appointment, they'd probably be calling the police. Like you get text reminders, you get follow-ups, you get we hope you had a great time, you know, and all that kind of stuff. I mean, her phone must have been like blowing up as soon as she missed her appointment,
right? And then I think there was a second appointment, and if she, you're right, and she was supposed to meet her mom, that's a lot.
But I did mention Fotis Doulos. And Fotis Doulos is a good-looking guy, right? He's got that handsome salt-and-pepper thing going on. He appears to be very successful. He works in kind of high-end real estate. And they met while attending Brown University. As far as I know, he hung out with, like, the European crowd, which would make sense, right? Of course. The name, like, Fotis. and they were acquaintances, Jennifer and Fotis, but they weren't, like, buddy-buddy. And they ran into each other years later. And, you know, he put on that, you know, olive oil charm. He's like, you like hummus, you know, and next thing you know, they're talking about, you know, everything. He was also an international water skier.
Yes. A sensation. Yes.
Have you ever water skied?
No. I should not water ski. I am way too clumsy for that.
Yeah. I mean, I would be one of those, like, ridiculous situations. If I were to ever water ski, water skiing is, like, right up there with, like, I don't know, like speed boating or something, or sailing. It just seems a little bit out of my wheelhouse. Like,
I broke an ankle walking to the bathroom. Oh,
yeah. Look what I can do. And you're still paying for it. Ankles suck. Ankles, when you hurt them, they take forever, but they'll get better, you know, especially with the summer approaching.
Really? Does summer make things heal better?
Well, the cold certainly makes the joints hurt.
That's true.
As somebody who is now 53 can attest. Ooh. He's not asking for you to reveal your age. You're 35. So.
or 48, whatever. There you
go. So there's a lot of back and forth about Fotis. Fotis was married. He had also met his wife, Hillary.
At Brown.
And they got married. You know, they were doing their thing, and they had their own trials and tribulations. All right, so I'm not going to badmouth Jennifer, but according to a Reddit post, and right there you should be like, all right, let me take this with a grain of salt. Jennifer had began dating Fotis while he was married to Hillary.
Of course she did.
Yeah, but I don't like to talk too badly of the dead. I mean, she was, I don't know. I even though she is clearly a cheating something.
Yeah. He's
cheating. Homewrecker. Yeah, homewrecker. I'm sorry. She's a homewrecker. He's like a cheating slut. You know, she just, it's just bad, like, everything that happened. You know, it's just, even though that happened, the outcome should not have gone this way.
No, she shouldn't have died for it. But you know what's interesting is I looked it up because I was like, this has got to be more common. Like, how often do people cheat once, cheat again?
Oh, yeah, isn't it like a trend?
Yeah, and the answer is that someone who cheats once is three times more likely to do so again.
Well, I think it's kind of like a shoplifting thing or anything. Like, you got away with it. Why not, you know, do it again?
100%.
And I wonder if that is the basis of also, like, drug addicts and everything. Well, you know, I did this drug and I'm fine, so I could do it again. And then it becomes habitual.
And then you die of fentanyl, yeah.
Yeah, oh my God.
Sorry, I went dark there.
Well, our kids are going to college, and now we have to be afraid of everything. And you know what you know what's one of the craziest things? And this is, you know, to all the parents out there. It's kind of like, so our kids are all going, I'm not going to reveal so much, but they're going to school in, you know, in New York, and weed is legal here, right?
Yeah.
So if you're going to go down this road of experimenting, which I'm kind of just like, I'm not going to get it too preachery about this. You don't have to get it from, like, some sketchy guy anymore.
No, just go to a dispensary.
No, don't want him to go down that rabbit hole, you know, of like, oh, you know, you don't have to, you know, experiment with these things. But at the same time, he's going to be an adult soon. So what can I do?
I mean, I think they're going to experiment. I mean, I kind of hope they experiment at some times because it's a right at passing.
I just hope the experimentation is done safely. You know, because of the You know, like, oh, I don't want to go to a dispensary and show my driver's license and all that kind of stuff versus like some guy who happens to have a bag of weed.
Mark, yeah. I grew up being friends with guys that just happened.
Yeah, but things like fentanyl. That's
where I got my weed from.
But fentanyl wasn't like a street drug at the time. And,
no, but who is spiking their weed with fentanyl?
Crazy. We live in a crazy world.
I guess that's why we have a podcast.
Yeah. And all right, going back to this, if you like this podcast, by the way, you should subscribe.
Yeah.
And
we will start talking about the case. We promise.
Yeah. Starting right now. So let's see. Things kind of soured between Fotis and Jennifer, but they had had two sets of twins. And then, what, another kid? Like they had a fifth kid?
Yeah.
It was kind of an interesting thing. I mean, so between how many years? 13 years they had all those kids?
Yeah.
It's a lot of kids to have in 13 years. Do you think that it was one of those situations where, all right, we have our kid. Whatever. We have our kid. Everything's going to be great now. We're going to get along. And then you don't get along. You know, Fotis is still being a prick. You know, just to get out of the house, you're getting your teeth cleaned. You know, right. It's like you're kind of losing your mind. You have all the money in the world, but of course, money doesn't buy happiness all the time. So you're like, let's have more kids, you know? And now she's a little bit older. How old would Jennifer Doulos have been in 2006?
Are you asking me to math?
Well, she's 50 when she died.
Right. So that would mean, and she died in 2018.
So that would mean she was born in 71 or 69.
Oh, I'm sorry. She died in 2019.
Yeah. So I think that means she would have been born in 69. Right? I think. Late 60s, early 70s, she was born. So she had a kid in her 40s.
Yeah.
So it's not totally uncommon for women who have kids later on. And, you know, this isn't saying that women shouldn't, but it's more common that they have twins later on in life. You know, I think it's like around 34, 35. If you have a kid, you have a higher likelihood of twins.
I thought it was egg harvest, like the harvesting of the eggs. And then that was more common.
I think it's both.
Okay.
And it was described to me in one of the most, in a really terrible way. And I'm gonna repeat it, but these aren't my words. This is the way it was described to me. Is when it's like women's bodies are producing more and more and more eggs. So because eventually you're getting closer to
running the end out of
your reproduction cycle.
Yeah.
I guess. It was said a lot more callously. It was like it's going out of business sale. That's how it was described. It's like, that's terrible.
I like that actually.
And, but to have two sets of twins is very unlikely, without the intervention of in vitro,
which I think is probably
the case. My grandmother had two sets of twins, but I doubt she had in vitro back in like the
early 40s. Yeah, probably not.
No. But that being said, she did have two sets of twins. Can you imagine just having five kids?
No.
Boom. You need that nanny. Like, this is one of those cases. Yeah, you need a nanny.
They definitely did. And they had a great nanny.
Lauren Almeida.
Almeida, I think.
Yeah.
Jennifer filed for divorce in 2017 after learning of her husband's affair with fellow competitive water skier. I don't know why, but I find the water skiing funny.
Me too. It seems so goofy.
Right? Water skier Michelle Traconis and moved to New Canaan. And am I pronouncing it wrong? Is it New Canaan?
I think I say Canaan.
Okay.
So we have Michelle Traconis as the new girl. Michelle has a daughter, I believe.
And yes.
It becomes this weird situation because Jennifer and Fotis go to like a marriage counselor, which is not terribly uncommon. But what Fotis brings to the table is that he wants, because he's kind of open about this affair. He's not denying it. He wants Michelle and her daughter to move into the new Cannon house with the whole family. So he wants his mistress and his wife all living under the same roof with all of these kids.
Wow. I mean, of course he does. He wants he'll be doted on by everyone.
The therapist reportedly stated that he, you know, kind of looked at the like asinine nature of this request. I mean, you're not LDS, you know.
Yeah.
You have one wife. And he apparently called the therapist a name after being called out. I don't know what the name was. And got up, stormed out, and never returned to therapy. Of course. Because I didn't get my way, I'm going to storm out and take my ball.
I'm sure Fotis was not very receptive to therapy.
No. Yeah, like, I'm surprised he would even be there unless it was court ordered.
And it might have been, actually.
All right, so when people file for divorce, is there like a thing where you have to go to marriage counseling?
No,
right? They can't force that.
No, I mean, I think when people file for divorce, a lot of them, maybe not as much as many as should, but a lot of them have already tried marital counseling.
So what we have is the affair is very public. We also know that this is usually the most dangerous time for a woman when they're trying to sever a relationship from their spouse.
Yeah, when they're trying to leave. Yeah.
Yeah, it's almost a meme, and I hate that word. I hate the word meme when it comes to something like this. But what it's a better way of describing it. It's like a trend. It's something that happens far too often that, I'm going to leave you. And then he loses his shit and he kills her. And it's just, the hell just happened, you know?
But again, why did he kill her? That question is plaguing me. But
you asked that question here, but we don't have a lot of information about the murder because, spoiler alert, the body has never been found.
Nope.
Which I find very difficult to believe. And I don't know why. I'm going to say why. I mean, why I think later. But so at some point, Fotis threatened to kidnap the children during the divorce proceedings. Not during, but like while this is all going on, Jennifer made this claim that he threatened to kidnap the children and to take them to his home country of Greece, which I don't even think is legal. You can't just like...
No, that's definitely illegal. Yeah.
I mean, I guess you can make an argument that you're going to vacate there, right? And then stay there. Like, I guess. I don't know. Fotis purchased a gun. He admitted to this. I would also imagine that Fotis is the type of guy to have a gun, right? He doesn't surprise me. I think
he probably already had one, too. Yeah.
There was, like, you know, a whole thing back and forth. It was pretty turbulent. Also keeping in mind that, you know, Jennifer did have her own money, right?
Yes.
Fotis did have his own money to a point. I'm not sure how much of that relied on the support of Jennifer.
I think that they both had their own independent money.
At this point, right?
Legally. Yeah.
Although I did learn later that Fotis had not paid his mortgage in a year leading up to all of this.
Oh, yeah. I definitely think he was running out of money. He also owed $2.5 million to her father in a loan he had taken out with him. I definitely think he ran out of money. But my question is... How/why? Mm-hmm. Oh, they spent it. They ran through it like it was water.
It's kind of like people we live near. I feel like there's a lot of Fotises and not murderers, but I feel we're surrounded by people who are spending money like water. And it's like, where do you even get your money? You know, like, 2026 Range Rover. It's like, $175,000 and you don't work. Like, I don't get it. You know, it's kind of strange, you know, but I try not to count too many people's money.
It's exhausting.
It kind of is. When people are driving around here with like a car that's like $700,000.
Yeah, that funny looking one, right?
The one that has like the purple wrap.
Yes.
Oh my, what is that?
Like, I don't know.
It's just so goofy. Like, look at me. But we love our neighbors. So March of that year, Jennifer was awarded the sole physical custody of the children. Why sole physical custody? Like, what had happened from Fotis, or did he just decline custody?
That's a great question, and I don't know the answer to that one.
And I looked there, it's weird. I looked here, I think there's so much more to this story, but the main details are so dramatic that people don't discuss them.
I agree. But remember, Fotis was granted supervised visitation.
Yeah, you don't get supervised visitation unless you have massive issues.
Yeah. So, or you're afraid that he'll abscond with the children to Greece.
And monitored phone calls.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's kind of like he's like talking to his kids and there's like a cop like there going, yeah, I'm here.
Well, oh, I like that. That was fancy.
I'm going to do the whole show with Echo. All right.
I like it. Well, you know, there's also in June of 2018, Jennifer obtained a temporary restraining order against Fotis to prevent him from contacting her or their children, which means that clearly something fucked up happened.
Do you think it has to do with maybe him wanting to bring Michelle into the mix? Because he ended up doing that. Michelle became part of the family.
Yeah. No, I don't know if I think that's the direct result of that, or, you know, that A plus B equals C. Yeah. I don't know, Jennifer had a lot on her plate, and I think that this, you know, his latest side check was probably the least of her concerns, although should have been the most in retrospect, obviously.
So what had happened is, we learned that Jennifer had a Chevy Suburban, which is a pretty big car. It was last seen leaving the house with Fotis in the driver's seat. Is that right?
Yep.
At 10:25 a.m. And that night, Fotis and his girlfriend, Michelle, were on another security camera dumping garbage bags. Right. And did you see some of that security footage?
Yes, it's crazy.
It's kind of haunting because we know what they did, you know?
Yeah.
I believe he was using the red truck there, right? He was using his co-worker's
truck. And it's a he was using his co-worker's truck. I forget what kind of truck it is. Everyone in this story has too many cars.
Yeah, we all do, right? It's like, how many cars do we need? But what we see, and what's haunting about it is, we see Michelle and we see Fotis driving around, getting out of the car, picking up these black, like, lawn bags and throwing them out throughout town in Hartford, Connecticut. Just throwing it away.
Just in different, you know, trash sites. Yeah.
The reason why people are in prison now, person is in prison, is primarily because in those bags were the remains, allegedly, right? I mean, I have to say allegedly because we don't know for sure. The body of Jennifer, chopped up into pieces, I'm guessing.
Well, I don't know because it's, you know, they had blood and, you know, Jennifer's blood and her clothing in it, bloody zip ties, and a bloody glove that contained Fotis's DNA. But there was no body parts. Otherwise, I think they could have, you know.
But I feel like they didn't recover them all. Like, there's just.
Yeah, that's true.
I just don't believe. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. But to go around and just drive, dropping off bags, thinking there's no surveillance. You know, this is practically 2020. There's no surveillance. There's license plate readers. There's everything. We have Michelle at some point wiping her hand on the concrete. You know, imagine what she has on her hand. And Jennifer goes missing, obviously. The nanny tries to call Jennifer, and she says it's very unlike Jennifer to not pick up on the first ring. She's a very, very committed mother. By that night, she's extremely worried, saying that this is not at all like Jennifer. And that's where she reaches out to the police.
That is where she reaches out to the police. And just to back up, I have a theory about where the body is, but we'll wait till we get there as well.
Really? All right. I can't wait for that. But let's just hypothetically just get to the point where Fotis killed her and Michelle is helping hide the body and the evidence. What's the motive?
Right. What's the motive?
I wrote like what I think, but midlife crisis. But I also think, according to Weinstein, the attorney representing Jennifer's mother, at the time of his death, Fotis had not made mortgage payments for about a year. So is this kind of like, well, I don't see how killing her is going to help. He's, you know, were they divorced?
They were not divorced. Mm. And I think that's how killing her would help.
Interesting.
Because I believe as the spouse, he would get the money.
He's about as crass as George Costanza when his girlfriend died, or his fiance died.
It's fine, right?
In Seinfeld, you know.
About, yeah, I know what you're talking about. That episode.
And as funny as a show it is, it's a very dark scenario.
Yes.
And but it's like from a wealthy family, and it's kind of like, well, did he expect the family to like help him? Because it's like he's already on their shit list, I would imagine.
Right. It's also possible that Fotis had some of Fotis's money. It was coming from sort of investors overseas.
Yeah, that sounds legit.
Right.
There's also, you know, I put this in that, you know, it's possible Jennifer was a tremendous pain in the ass and he learned to hate her. No one's perfect, you know. She definitely is put on a pedestal because, you know, she's the victim here and nobody deserves this to happen to them, no matter how mean and awful they are. And I'm not saying she was, you know, there are more people here saying that Jennifer was a decent, good person than there are people here saying that she wasn't.
I agree. And, you know, what's interesting is that Fotis does not seem like, you know, you said he seems like an angry guy, and it's true. He doesn't seem like a kind of guy who can control his temper.
Right.
And so I do wonder about this plan, like why this plan was so intact that he had.
Well, he also involved his attorney.
Yeah.
And that's creating an entire conspiracy now.
Yes.
That is a very, you know, he was also, you know, going to the attorney, Kent Mahoney. He was accused of spousal rape by his wife, who later claimed that her husband and Fotis were trying to kill her, which sounds like,
that's believable.
Is this like a ring? Is this like an Epstein type of situation? Like, it seems to me like what is kind of going on? There's all these women. They're all like, there's all this money being thrown around. There are like these high profile people. I don't know. It just seems like a real genuine example of men letting a position of power be abused, or rather, you know, abusing based on their status and money.
I agree. Can I tell you where I think the body was put?
Yes.
So after Jennifer disappeared, a shallow grave was discovered at a secluded property that Mahoney owned. And it was filled with two bags of lime and a blue tarp. Mahoney's wife discovered it.
That's for grapes. That's how you grow grapes.
Right. But what if there's another grave somewhere and that's where they put her body? Because the bag of lime and a blue tarp, right?
So do you think it was a dummy grave?
I think that maybe there was more than one. Because why would they do a dummy grave on purpose?
You know, also property in Connecticut, especially when you're a real estate investor, is really cheap. And, you know, it's so, like, the wilderness is pretty expansive.
Yeah. There.
So you could probably purchase, like, 10 acres of something that's just whatever and bury somebody out there. Not trying to give anyone any ideas. But, you could buy acreage for like $50,000.
Right. Or if he had all these properties that he, these expensive properties that he was trying to sell, I wonder if there's one where someone, you know, where no one was currently living at the house, and maybe that's where she is.
Yeah. The whole thing is, it's when they don't find the body, it's kind of like the Nancy Guthrie thing. When we don't find the body, I think that's where things get really scary, I guess.
Yeah. And the unknown, fear of the unknown always.
Because at any point did they think like, oh, she ran away? I'm sure that they went down that route at some point, even though I didn't hear about that. You know, maybe she wanted to abandon her family, because that sounds totally normal.
Right. This woman who made her living to sort of talking about her family, or
right,
lived her whole life around her family.
Her award-winning blog. just kidding. It was not good.
Not good. Not good.
It's an effort, right?
Okay.
It's an effort. I mean, so let's see. That brings us to where I was just looking and I swung. So on June 1st, 2019, this is now how much? This is like a week later.
Oh. Yes, a week later. Sorry. I thought, yeah. My guess was a year. Obviously, math is not my
strong. Oh, no, it's all right. Fotis and Michelle are both arrested in Avon, Connecticut, and charged with tampering with evidence and hindering prosecution. Michelle agreed to talk to police while Fotis refused. They're trying to turn Michelle against Fotis. I wonder, like, I could picture Fotis being the kind of guy where it's like, I'm not talking, I want my lawyer, you know, that type of, which is what I think everyone should actually do, whether they're innocent or guilty.
Well, no one should commit crimes, but if they do, agree with you.
But, you know, don't talk to the, I don't want to give advice again, but for me, if I get arrested, I'm not talking to the police. I'll talk to the, you know, I want my attorney.
Yes, same here.
They're gonna punch me. So they tried to turn her against him, obviously. And basically, she is his alibi.
Yeah, she doubled down.
She goes into the kind of, I'm going to say, sickening detail with how she woke up. They showered together. They had made love. They did all these things that I just don't think are important to have to document.
Yeah.
Do you, like, what do you think that is? Why do you think Michelle needed to go on the record that of their intimate details?
Oh, I think it's overkill, and I think they discussed it before, or maybe they based it on what they had done the week before on the same day and just sort of stole it from things that actually happened. But either way, this did not work to their advantage. It just told the police where in the timeline to look.
Yeah, they felt like this, they referred to it as an alibi script. Mm-hmm. And they feel as though, like you said, they created it in order to secure their innocence and kind of have their stories, you know, sync up. But she later recanted. Did she recant the whole thing?
Yes. No, she recanted the alibi. I'm sorry. Mm. So she was basically saying, nope, he did it, not me.
And it's almost like, did what? It's like no one's admitting to anything.
Yeah.
Even today, I don't believe anyone has admitted to any wrongdoing.
No, right? She still thinks she's still claiming innocence.
Mm. Jennifer's children at this point aged between 8 and 13. I mean, if you really want to screw up a kid, this is the kind of like situation you put in front of them.
Oh, yeah.
They moved in with the grandmother, Gloria Farber. And you mentioned that this... you see her and you're like, oh, she's got money.
She's beautiful. She looks great.
And you know what? She didn't need five kids being shoved into her life to raise. And I'm sure she did it with a smile. And I'm sure she has no problem with it. But it's unfair. You know, it's cruel even that this older woman is raising her grandchildren instead of her mother, who is just because of infidelity, or at least what we think is the motive, maybe.
I don't think infidelity is the motive. I think being a dick is the motive.
But he wants his cake and to eat it too. I feel like he wanted like a daily orgy going on or something. Like what is like he wanted his mistress and wife what to humiliate? Like I don't understand the.
Oh, maybe it was a financial motive there.
To
condense one household.
I don't know. Just it's not going to work. It's terrible. It's a terrible idea. Michelle denied knowing what happened to Jennifer or where she was, and let's see.
Court didn't buy it.
Her this is what's weird. Shortly after the arrest, Michelle and her 10-year daughter moved out of Fotis's home. So like they were still living there.
Oh yeah, because they were still in this relationship. Sure.
I mean, it's just crazy. And you know, Michelle would have to be a complete moron to think that he's not capable of harming her and her daughter.
Yes.
So to even stay there for one evening is insane. Right? I think.
I agree. And I also think, you know, at what point I wonder if sort of she stayed with him out of fear once she realized what he was capable of.
So they were arrested, but they were, you know, I'm not really sure why they were, I guess they were charged, but then released in June because he was rearrested in, September 4th of 2019 for a second count of evidence tampering.
Yes.
Let's see. That's going a little too far ahead. In January of 2020, Fotis was arrested again at his home by the Connecticut State Police and charged with capital murder and kidnapping in relation to Jennifer's disappearance. So while this is all going on, the police are doing a pretty decent investigation because they see that Fotis had dropped these bags. And they were able to retrieve. Did they retrieve them all?
Who knows?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how many bags. Did you hear why his claim as to why the bags existed?
No.
When I first learned of this case, like maybe 2 years ago, it was mentioned like on a podcast or something. He claimed that someone had dumped 60 bags of garbage on his lawn. And he just woke up and he said, instead of bothering the police, he decided to borrow the truck, load them up, and dump them himself.
That's insane.
It's insane. But when he said 60 bags, I thought the body is in those bags. That's what I
thought. Yes. Yes.
But and maybe he buried the bags. I mean, we have no evidence of that, though.
We have no evidence of him burying the bags, but it sort of makes sense. And he had so much property that he had access to.
Yeah, that's another thing with real estate agents is, they have, property that they're not affiliated with in any way. It's like,
right?
You just give me the code or no one's showing this property. I know it's going to be vacant. There's no reason for anyone to be there.
Yeah, especially if the houses are unoccupied, rather.
Or the desolate property, you know, like the woods. Yeah. It's just nutty. It's really crazy. So where should we pick up from here?
Well, I mean, we discussed Mount Winnie, and he's my favorite. I'm so glad you pronounced the name first because I was at a loss.
Mahinny or Mawini. Mawini?
Well, Mawini ended up losing his law license for a year as a result of his involvement in the case, which is great. Although he's publicly stated he has no desire to ever be a lawyer again. Mm-hmm. And that's valid. And then with Michelle, Michelle is still in prison right now.
Yeah.
She was found guilty of conspiracy to commit murder, 2 counts of conspiracy to tamper with evidence, 2 counts of tampering with physical evidence. and one count of second degree hindering the prosecution.
Now, here's what's weird. So Michelle took the rap. Like, she's the person who ended up going to prison for this. Primarily, I don't think she would have gotten as bad of a sentence or had the entire case focused on her if it's not for what happened on January 20th, 2020.
Yes.
Where Fotis failed to appear at a bond hearing, an emergency bond hearing, whatever that means, and was found unresponsive at his home. He tried to kill himself in the old school way of taking a hose from the tailpipe and starting the car and, you know, I guess succumbing to carbon monoxide poisoning.
Yep.
They found him. He was still alive. EMS found a pulse. And they were doing CPR. They took him to the hospital. And then he was taken off of life support after, I think, 2 days. I don't know that for sure.
Yeah, 2 days.
But I put in the notes, I wonder who made that decision, right? Like, there's no, I mean, as far as we know, does Fotis have any blood relative that's over 18?
And I don't know that, but I don't know if the hospital would have been able to make that.
Right? This is in Canada. Like, you can't do that. So yeah, I don't know. Did somebody trip over a cord or something?
Right, and just call it a day?
I don't believe a hospital's like, well, all right, your insurance is up. All right, we gotta, you know, unplug them. No, I don't mean to sound crass either, because this is, you know, a human life that we're talking about. An awful human, but nevertheless a human life. But yeah, I have to wonder who would have had the power of attorney for him.
Yeah. That's a great question, because we don't know anything about his parents, or I didn't find any information about his parents.
Sure, they're real charming.
I'm sure they're real charming.
The dad probably looks a lot like him, but even somehow better looking.
Yes, yes, more distinguished. Right. I can see that.
He smokes a pack a day or something.
Yeah, and with Jennifer still as his wife, obviously she would have been the first person to contact, but she's dead.
But you know, I guess, like, maybe his attorney had power of attorney. I mean, I don't know how this all works.
Yeah, but his attorney was Mont Winnie. Oh, you mean his second attorney, his other attorney?
You know what? He had to have had this conversation with his attorney and said, well, look, if something happens to me, I have to, like, take care of this. Like, the guy was not a moron. So he had to have known that it's possible that he could live while trying to attempt suicide.
Yeah, but it's true. And maybe he had a living will.
Yeah, but we don't know. I mean, I did a quick search. I couldn't find too much about it. But yeah, he's taken off of life support. He did leave a suicide note, which does not reveal very much.
Okay.
I could read a little bit of it if you'd like.
Sure. Yes, please. Because I haven't read it yet.
Let's see if I can find it. It just says all, comma, right? And this is typed. Like, I mean, this is like somebody copy and pasted it. So
he says all. That's how it starts.
All, wow. Comma.
Wow.
If you're reading this, I am no more. I refuse to spend even an hour more in jail for something I had nothing to do with. Nothing is capitalized. Enough is enough. If it takes my head to end this, so be it. I want it to be known that Michelle Traconis had nothing to do with Jennifer's disappearance, and neither did Kent Mahinney. I ask the state to let them free of any such accusations. I also ask the state to stop harassing my friends, redacted and redacted. They are honorable people. Please let my children know that I love them. Yeah. I would do anything to be with them, but unfortunately we all have our limits, whatever that means. The state will not rest until I rot in jail. My attorney can explain what happened with the bags on Albany Avenue. Everything else is a story fabricated by law enforcement. I want to thank all of my family and friends that stood by me during this difficult time. Now this, maybe you can explain. I'm going to read it exactly the way it's written and there's a redaction. Able all redacted. I am sorry for letting you down and not continuing the fight. And that's it. What is Able All?
I don't know.
I've never heard that.
I've never heard that either. I have a new theory now, though. I think this was, I think that he tried to stage a suicide attempt and fucked it up.
Oh, wow. The guy's a narcissist. I don't
believe it. Narcissists don't take their own life.
I wonder if, like, he thought that he would, might end up in the hospital and this whole thing, but live.
Right, especially because of the timing of it. He failed to appear at an emergency bond hearing and was found unresponsive at his home. So he sort of knew the police were coming, but maybe they didn't come soon enough.
Now, in this, the reason why I knew this letter existed is because they mentioned somewhere that Anna Curry, who was his new girlfriend after all this was happening, was mentioned. So in these redactions, somewhere it says Anna Curry. So stop harassing my friends, redacted and redacted. But I don't think that the state ever called Anna Curry to do anything. So Able All Anna Curry? I don't know what that means.
No, I don't either.
So three redactions, and the people claim that Anna Curry is one of the redactions. I just don't see where it would fit. And we have no evidence that the police, quote unquote, harassed Anna Curry. But I believe she was the person who couldn't get in contact with him and called the police.
And maybe, oh, you know what? And that would further support my theory that he faked his own suicide attempt.
Yeah, it's kind of like, get me out of here.
Yeah, maybe she didn't call soon enough.
I'm just going to read this. This is from the Daily Mail. You know, I mentioned before, it's the eye roller. But, you know, they do get scoops. It's like the Inquirer. Anna Curry said that she returned to the house around 11:15 a.m. She found computers inside that photos had told her were in his car. I don't know what that means. So she assumed that she'd forgotten them in his rush to leave. She also saw a cap from a medication bottle, possibly Tylenol PM, but didn't think of anything about it. Curry told police that she never checked the garage, where officers found Fotis minutes later, unresponsive in his car, as she was driving to the court to meet Fotis, because this was happening while Fotis was supposed to go to court. One of his attorneys, Kevin Smith, not the actor, called her to ask where he was, and his GPS showed that he was still at home. So that's another thing that's interesting. I think this goes in line with your theory. So why is, all right, so if I need to see where my son is, like, I can track his iPhone, right?
Damn, yeah.
But his girlfriend, his new girlfriend, Anna Curry, is able, or rather, his attorney can track him?
Why would you have your attorney have that? Oh, unless he had, like, an ankle monitor. Yeah,
that's possible, or maybe it was court mandated or something like that. I don't know. We don't know. The officer is quoted as saying, Anna said that, and at the moment, she knew that Fotis must have done something to harm himself. Wink, wink.
Right.
So, yeah. Anyway, so he ended up in the hospital.
Well, he ended up dead. Yeah.
Well, yeah, a couple days later. But, yeah, I wonder, you know, he's such a narcissist. I bet you there's no way he would actually attempt to actually commit suicide.
No.
And that's a weak letter. I'll be honest. Like,
it is a weak letter, and it sounds more like, I don't mean this literally, but like an alibi letter, like a way that he's sort of including everyone. You know, he's asking for innocence. Yeah. You know, for everyone that was involved in this,
but not himself. He does, well, he does say they had nothing to do with it. It's interesting. The one line, I want it to be known that Michelle Traconis had nothing to do with Jennifer's disappearance.
Right.
Well, who did?
Disposing of the bags.
Yeah, and neither did Kent. And neither did Donald Trump or Epstein. I don't know. Like, why don't you just put a whole list of people who are guilty on this in this letter?
Well, also, how is he vouching for other people? Like, he doesn't, I don't know. He doesn't know this, supposedly.
No. Let's see. You know, most recently, Kent Mahoney, he pled guilty back in last June for interfering with an officer.
Yes.
In questioning, Mahoney said, obviously, it's a tragedy, but, you know, I have as much responsibility for that tragedy as you do. I guess the officer questioning. So you don't know what happened to Jennifer? He answered, no. Do you know where she is? No. If I did, I'd tell them. I don't know how they can get closure without that. I don't know. When people say that kind of stuff, I mean, he is an attorney, so he's maybe thinking a little bit more ahead, but I don't know how they can get closure without that. It's kind of like you're kind of stepping ahead of emotions there.
I also cannot imagine Ma Winnie being a good attorney.
Yeah, he just seems like a sketchy guy.
Yeah.
Everybody.
He raped and threatened to kill his wife.
But yeah, Traconis went to prison for a sentence 14 and a half years. I do have the nanny talking, which is, it's a little long, but I really do think it's worth listening to. I'm going to just cue it up for real quickly. Do you mind if I play that?
No, I'd like to hear it.
All right. Now this is the impact statement of Jennifer Doulos, in the Michelle Traconis, and she really rips into Michelle, which is pretty good. And you know what? This is the kind of woman or person that we want on our side at all times.
And watching our children. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Here we go. Here we go. All right. No, we're not. Wait. Thank you, Mac. Thank you for like embarrassing me in front of Lindsay.
All right. Your Honor, thank you for letting me speak today. This is a photo of Jennifer on her 50th.
Are you able to hear that, by the way?
Yes,
I just want to make sure.
Birthday, we all celebrated together. It's also her last birthday that we all celebrated together. I first met Jennifer in 2012 when she had 5 small kids and I was 21 in my senior year of college. I started babysitting for Jennifer once a week, but then that grew to seeing Jennifer and her kids almost 6 days a week. From the beginning, I was never just their nanny. To be inside someone's home is such an intimate experience, one that has many ups and many downs. But right away, Jennifer opened up her home to me and made me part of their family. We were a duo right away. She trusted me and I trusted her. It was Jennifer I went to when anything happened in my life, when I needed direction or someone to just vent to. Jennifer always had my best interests at heart and gave me a space to be heard. She made me laugh. She made me think about my future. And she provided me with opportunities I never thought I'd have. Most importantly, she loved me, and I loved her and her family. Through this experience, I've gained people in my life that were Jennifer's closest friends and are now my chosen family. Women who are teaching me how to be a mother, how to let things go, how to just live and love. They have all taken some place of what Jennifer was to me, even though that hole can never be filled. There's a piece of Jennifer in all of them. I hear Jennifer's voice in Kiki's, her intelligence in Carrie, her force with Laurel, and her wittiness in Caroline. Seeing Melissa and Gloria, I see Jennifer in their eyes and smiles. While I've gained this chosen family, it shouldn't be like this. It should be Jennifer sitting at the table helping with homework. It should be Jennifer attending sports events. It should be Jennifer taking them on college tours. It should be Jennifer's bed they run into at night. It should be Jennifer giving them advice on friendships. It should be Jennifer that they have to console them. It should be Jennifer to see them at their sad times and at their happiest. And you, Michelle, you have helped take away all of this. You took their mother and you took my friend. The actions of Michelle Traconis have greatly affected my life and continue to affect my life. The day Jennifer went missing was a day I started to fear not only for my life, but the life of Jennifer's 5 children. And this was directly because of what Michelle and Fotis decided to do on May 24th, 2019. I no longer slept. I no longer could leave the apartment without running to my car in fear that someone would come after me. I could no longer enter my home in Connecticut without a police officer because I was afraid of Michelle and Fotis being on the other side waiting for me. We didn't leave the kids alone because we were certain Michelle and Fotis would try and take them. We had armed bodyguards escort us anywhere we went because we lived in fear 24/7. I had nightmares so bad, I woke up in tears shaking, unable to let go of the thought of Michelle and Fotis taking these kids and doing something unthinkable, because the unthinkable had already happened. It has been proven that Michelle conspired with Fotis to kill, in the most gruesome way, a mother of five kids, a mother and my friend. May 24, 2019 was the day Jennifer was murdered by Fotis and Michelle. And that was the day I decided I wouldn't leave those kids until she was found. It's been 5 years, and I still haven't left their side. I had a relationship, upcoming career, family, friends. My whole life was in Connecticut. I left all that to help Gloria and Jennifer's close friends to care for these kids. My relationship ended. I lost the place I called home. I've lost friends and time with my family. I had to rethink what my life would be like now that I had five kids to help look after.
So, like, how do you fire this girl?
Right? No.
No, you don't, right?
You never fire her. She's now family.
So it's a lot of the same stuff, but she does at one point address Michelle directly, which I think is one of the more powerful moments here. I mean, already I really like this woman.
Same.
She's a good friend. And so I'm going to play this last little thing.
You, Michelle, were found guilty on all accounts in this courtroom. You, Michelle, drove with Fotis while you threw away Jennifer's bloody clothes in the trash. You, Michelle, lied multiple times to the police. You, Michelle, have been disrespectful in this courtroom. You, Michelle, have been found guilty of conspiring with Fotis to murder Jennifer. And you, Michelle, show no remorse and no accountability. Michelle Trinconis deserves to spend the maximum sentence behind bars because of all that she did. She helped change the course of so many people's lives. And for what? To take Jennifer's place? Because you could never. To live this lavish lifestyle Fotis promised? We'll never know, because I believe Michelle will never be honest. She took away the most genuine, thoughtful, funny, and kind person I have ever met. She took away a mother who sang silly songs to her kids, who was always there when they failed to lift them back up, a mother whose whole life was Petros, Theodore, Christian, Constantine, and Noel.
Jeez, why don't you marry her? No, so clearly, you know, it's a pretty emotional moment, and it's, you know, it's all true. Pretty awful. Let's see, this past, you know, Michelle Trinconis remains in prison serving a 20-year sentence. She has 14 and a half years left. And let's see, she's constantly trying to appeal. Mm-hmm. Let's see, there was a hearing just a couple months ago in January, and the habeas corpus hearing ended, and let's see, briefs were filed by March 30th, and replies are due on April 20th. And a ruling on the trial is expected soon. So if there is anything new, we'll follow up in a future episode, I guess.
Yes, I definitely think we should.
As far as I know, the kids are all doing well. They're,
yeah,
the ones that are of college age are in university, and the 15-year-old is doing fine in school.
That's wonderful.
Yeah, it's a shame, because it's like, all right, you want to do what you want to do, fine. You don't have to kill people to do it. So
you really don't. And to this day, Jennifer's body still hasn't been found. And I think this is interesting. In May 2021, a domestic violence bill was passed in Connecticut called Jennifer's Law that raises awareness in the names of both Jennifer Dulos and a second woman, Jennifer Magnano, who was also murdered by her husband.
Maybe it's a future episode.
Yeah, maybe. Well, to make a note of it. The law aims to address gaps and loopholes in the legal system when it comes to cases involving domestic violence and child custody disputes. Mm. Then in October 2023, a court granted a request for a declaration of death so that her children, Jennifer's children, could inherit from hers and her mother's, impending death, because mom is old. Jennifer's old. Her mom still... Her mom still has custody of all five children.
All right. Yeah, I mean, I'm hoping that the nanny is there. And I don't know. I do worry about her financial future, but let's hope that everything she definitely has a book if she needs.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. She. But I don't think she'll write it.
Yeah, me either. I don't know. She seems like a smart woman. I think she'll do okay. She wears a necklace that's just the number 5.
Aww.
Yeah, for the 5.
That's
right. Sad one. Lindsay, I want to thank you so much for doing this first episode of The Husband Did It.
Thank you, Mark. It was a pleasure.
Unfortunately, there'll be a lot more cases to talk about. There are recent ones. There are old ones. One little rabbit hole I'm going down. I don't know if you've ever thought about this, but all of the murders and domestic murders and all types of crimes occurred during the COVID-19 shutdown.
Sure. Yeah.
And a lot of them, in my opinion, were covered up. Like, a lot of them were, it's a COVID death, you know? Statistically speaking, there has to have been murders that happened during this period of time that were not investigated properly.
Oh, that's a great thing for us to look into, yeah.
Yeah, the COVID Chronicles, maybe, I don't know.
A spinoff podcast.
Yeah. But it's a tough one. That's a tough one because we don't want to uncover too much.
No.
And it's but I'm innocent. It's like, all right, I guess you have to kill me. All right, well, Lindsay, thank you so much. I do appreciate it. People should head on over to thehusbanddidit.com. And if you like this podcast, just subscribe to it. There's more to come. And I look forward to our next case.